You have your Bibles, would you please turn to the book of Psalms, number 66. The book of Psalms, number 66. The subject being the prayer hearing God. The prayer hearing God. Beginning with verse 1 through 4 of Psalm 66 and picking up with verse number 16. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Picking up with verse number 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. In verse 3, say unto God. We do a lot of saying. We say things to our wives. We say things to our husbands. We say things to our friends. Children say things to dogs. But here David is saying something to God. And the conclusion of it in verse 19, but verily God hath heard me. I said something to God, and He heard me. Not only that, but He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that deal with the subject of prayer. When we speak of prayer, what are we talking about? Let me give you a short and simple definition of prayer. Prayer is communicating with God. It deals with man talking to God, and it also deals with God talking to man. I believe this definition is clearly set forth in Genesis chapter 18. If you would turn to it quickly, Genesis 18, you'll probably readily recognize the context deals with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and God telling Abraham what He's going to do. Notice in verses 22 through 23 that Abraham drew near to God. And the men turned their faces from thence. That is, the angels, they had this assignment to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. They went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord, and Abraham drew near. I believe this is the first and foundational element in praying, and that is we must get close to God. We must draw nigh unto the Lord. Not only did Abraham draw nigh to God, but Abraham spoke to God. Look at verses 23 through 25. Abraham drew near and said, to whom is he speaking? He's talking to the Lord. And he speaks to God here. And he starts talking to the Lord about the possibility, if there were so many in Sodom, would God withhold His judgment? He started out with 50, went to 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. But the idea is that Abraham was talking to God. And then verse 26 tells us that God did some talking to Abraham. The Bible says, and the Lord said, and you'll find that in the remaining verses of chapter 18, and the Lord said. Now I want you to get the picture. Abraham is talking with the Lord, and the Lord is talking to Abraham. That's communication, and that's what prayer is. Verse number 33, this is called communing with God. The Lord went His way as soon as He had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham talks to God. God talks to Abraham. Abraham goes his way, and God goes his way, but a great deal of communing had gone on. That's what prayer is all about. There are many different forms of prayer. It is not my intention to get on anybody else's subject tonight, but I sure am glad I'm first. There are many different forms of prayer. I learned in going to school one that has stuck with me, and perhaps you know it by heart. If you build an acrostic with the book of Acts, the word Acts, A stands for adoration, C stands for confession, T stands for thanksgiving, and S stands for supplication. Whenever a man prays, he might limit his prayer to that of just adoring the Lord and giving honor and glory to God. Or he might limit his praying to just that element of confession or that element of thanksgiving. And sometimes you incorporate all of them in your prayer life. What is adoration? Very briefly, Solomon demonstrates this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 14, when he had finished the temple, he dedicated it to the Lord, and he had this prayer of dedication. What was the content of his prayer? Solomon spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like Thee in heaven nor in earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their heart. Adoration is a very important part of praying. When the disciples approached the Lord Jesus and said, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples, where did he begin? Our Father, adoration. Who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Adoration is praying to the Lord. Also, confession is praying to the Lord. David said in Psalm 51, verse number 4, against Thee, Thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest. There's the element of thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And finally, this idea and concept of supplication. This deals with our petitions, with our desires. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the message tonight, I will be dealing with this aspect of supplication. That part of this scope of prayer that deals with desires. What do we want from the Lord? What do we ask God for? Our petitions, our desires, our supplications. Number one, God alone heareth prayers. God alone heareth prayers. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 18 through 22, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there's none else. Notice in verse number 20, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and they pray unto a God that cannot save. Verse number 21, tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Amen. Now, people who pray to other gods are wasting their time. Because there's only one God who can hear prayer, and there's only one God who can answer prayer, and that's the God of the Bible. Jehovah is His name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He alone hears prayers. Religious people pray to their false gods, but they cannot hear. Psalm 115, verses 3 through 6. Our God is in the heavens, and He still is tonight, my dear friends. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He gets great delight out of doing that. Their idols, speaking of religion now, their idols are silver and gold and works of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. God alone answers and hears prayers. The God of the Muslims cannot hear. And the reason is because He's the wrong God. There's only one. That's the God of the Bible. Not the God of the Koran. The God of the Bible. The Philistines stole the Ark of God. And they brought it down to one of their cities. And in that city was a temple unto Dagon. And in that temple was a statue of Dagon. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, which was the symbol of the presence of God Almighty, and put it right beside of Dagon. And you know what happened? During the night, Dagon falls over, prostrate, before the Ark of the Covenant. And the men come out the next morning, and they take their handkerchiefs, perhaps, and dust the dust off of Dagon and set him up again. And they come back the second day, and this time Dagon is not only fallen over, but his hands are broken off, and his head is broken off. And if you break the head off, you don't have any ears. That's the reason he can't hear. There's only one God who hears prayer, and that's the God of the Bible. God alone hears prayers. In 1 Kings chapter number 18, verses 26 through 39, Elijah called on the prophets of Baal to call on him and see if he would answer from heaven by fire. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves. Dress it first. Your many call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it." And you'll recall what they did. They got all the material together. They took this bullock. They dressed it. And they started calling on the name of Baal from morning until noon. And they didn't sleep until 10 o'clock. They got up early. And they spent the entire morning calling on Baal. And nothing happened. And my dear friends, this is where charismatics were born, right here. When they didn't get the answer they wanted, they leaped upon the altar that was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry a little bit louder, for He is a God. Either He's talking or He is pursuing." Now, if you want an interesting word study, look up that word pursuing in the Hebrew. It has the idea, my dear friends, one of the ideas he was taking a rest of refreshment. That he had to use the bathroom, perhaps. And he couldn't hear because he was busy taking care of business. Elijah was as bold as a lion declaring this thing. And my dear friends, they cried aloud and cut themselves with all manner of knives until the evening. They prayed for 12 hours and nothing happened because that God doesn't hear. And then it was time for Elijah to pray. They prayed 12 hours. Elijah prayed 15 seconds. And God heard from heaven and honored His prophet. God alone hears prayers. Number two, God hears not the prayers of sinners. Probably there might be a little bit of drawing back from a statement like that. Because all of us have a tendency sometimes to rely on what we have experienced and say, "Well, I had an old mama. She didn't go to church, but she knew how to get hold of God." No, most likely if she didn't go to church, she didn't know how to get hold of God. But nonetheless, God heareth not the prayers of sinners. In John chapter 9, verse 31, the Pharisees said this. But nonetheless, my dear friends, it was truth. Isn't it amazing God can use anything to preach truth? He used Balaam's ass to preach truth. The Pharisees said, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Prayer is a designed activity for the children of God, not the children of the wicked one. Believers pray to God as their Father who is in heaven, and God is not the Father of the unsaved. Many scriptures seem to support this. Proverbs 1:28 through 30. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Listen. Didn't say Selah, but it'd be a good place to put one there. Meditate a little bit on that. Isaiah 1:15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Ezekiel 8:18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Micah 3, verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. So God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Prayer is a designed activity for the saints of God. It's God's saints communicating with their Father in heaven. Number three, God heareth not the prayers of his disobedient children. God heareth not the prayers of his disobedient children. It was David who said in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now this was said by King David, who was a man after God's own heart. If a believer is out of fellowship with the Lord, it seems to me that his prayer life will be dormant and dead until he repents and comes back home to the Father. Had the prodigal son wired his father for more money when he was away in a far land, I doubt the father would have sent him a dime. But when he came home, bring forth the best robe and the fatted calf. This my son was lost. He's been found. He was dead. He's alive. God heareth not the prayers of disobedient children. 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Dear friend, broken fellowship is a terrible thing. And it happens when a child of God allows sin to harbor and to take up a residence in his life. It is one thing to confront sin, and all of us know, if we're honest with ourselves and we believe the Word of God, Christian people have a problem with sin. We have to yield not to temptation, for temptation's going to be there. And all of us at one time or another have fallen into sin. Some in worse cases than others. But what we do is we realize that we've grieved the Holy Spirit and we're sorry for that which we've done. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we maintain constant fellowship with Him. But when we do wrong and try to cover it up, when we sin and we ignore the work of the Holy Spirit to expose it, when we refuse to confess it and get right with God, at that point in the believer's life, his prayer is stifled. Prayer is a wonderful privilege, my dear friend, but it is also a very dangerous thing to play around with. More things certainly have been wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. But if we ever get the idea that it doesn't make any difference how we live, I can just call on Jesus anytime. You call, honey, all you want to. He's not going to listen. If our hearts are deliberately not right with Him, we need to get right with Him. Get on praying ground again. And I've noticed it's getting quiet in here tonight. God heareth not the prayers of His disobedient children. Number four, God is a prayer-hearing God to His obedient children. Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 29:12-13, then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you search for me with what? With your whole heart. James 5:17-18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed, and don't pass the word earnestly there. That's a very important word. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Who's doing the praying? A man of like passions as we are. But he knew how to say unto the Lord. He knew how to talk to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I what? I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Let me give you a couple of examples tonight. One is found in 1 Samuel 1, Hannah praying for a baby. She had something to say to the Lord, and she said it, and God heard it, and did something about it. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it begins by introducing us to a man whose name was Elkanah, and he had a real, real problem. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children and Hannah had no children. Now you know what that's going to do, don't you? You're going to have a jealousy problem there. Unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Only God knows how to shut up a womb, and only God knows how to open a womb. Her adversary also provoked her sore. In my opinion, that's not talking about the devil. I think it's talking about the other wife. Provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord shut up her womb. Nah, 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 nah. You can't have a baby. That's a bad thing, isn't it? Verse 9, Hannah rose up. After they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat by the seat, by the post of the temple of the Lord, she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Now, I think there might have been just a little fundamentalism in Eli. He said, well, she's drunk again. She vowed a vow, however, as she prayed and said, Lord, if you will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, you give unto thine handmaid a man child, and I'll give unto the Lord, him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She wanted what she could not have, and she asked God to give to her what she could not have. And that was a child. And she made this promise, if you give me the child, I'll return him unto you. Well, did that work? Well, it was effective, I can assure you. It came to pass, my dear friends, that Hannah had that baby. Now comes the difficult part. Is she going to stand behind her part of the deal? Absolutely. As soon as that child was weaned, she brought him to the Lord and told Eli, this is the baby I asked God for, and I've lent him. That's an Old Testament expression. I've given him unto the Lord for the rest of his life. But she didn't have, and she couldn't have, and she asked God, and God did it. That's prayer. That's prayer. You said you believe God do that today. Well, unless he's changed. And he doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Real quickly, one other. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Hezekiah was enjoying his fruitful reign over the children of God. And one day a prophet by the name of Isaiah showed up, knocked on his door and said, Hezekiah, you better set your house in order for you getting ready to die. Now, you know, for an old person, we kind of expect that. But Hezekiah was in the prime of his reign, and he could hardly take that news in. And it so burdened him and caused him grief that he began to cry out to the Lord. And the Bible said God heard his prayer and gave him 15 more years. You say, well, now, if God had a time for him to die, and he didn't die, and God spared him 15 more years, how you explain that? I'll let Brother Camp explain that. He'd go preach on that. That's part of his subject. But part of my subject is he prayed. And he did something good. It worked out. And God heard it and did something about it. Our God is a prayer-hearing God. We have some exciting subjects in this conference that the preachers are going to be preaching about. And I am looking so forward to hearing the rest of these men stand and proclaim the Word of God on these subjects. Folk, we need to know how to pray. We need to know how to talk to God. We need to know how to listen when God speaks to us. Our God is a prayer-hearing God. What a comfort that is. What a blessing. We have the privilege of entering into dialogue with the God of glory. We may be tired, we may be faint, but he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So because of this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. He's a prayer-hearing God, therefore we have not, because we ask not.